This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. According to the U.S. Census Bureau, individuals 65 years and older will make up 19% of the U.S. population by the year 2030, an estimated 72 million people. And many experts predict the number of older Americans will put severe pressure on families, communities, and governments. Joining us to discuss how we can prepare to meet the needs of our aging population are Ann Sutton Burke, Director of Aging and Caregiver Services at Jewish Family Services, and Lori Petrie, Vice President of Communications for the Council on Aging of Southwestern Ohio. You can join us at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Ann and Lori, thank you for being here this afternoon.
Thank you for having us.
Ann, this is going to be a major, just a dramatic shift in demographics in the next 15 years, isn't it?
Very true.
It's going to have a huge impact.
It is. We've known about this for a long time, but I think it's the rest of the world, the community, government leaders and such that are really waking up to this, and industry as well.
Yeah, Lori, I think at the personal level, I think many of us are seeing signs of what's coming, aren't we?
We are. I think, I'm a boomer myself, and I'm helping to take care of my dad. And I have many friends and people I run into all the time who are taking care of aging parents. So it's a reality that we're all living now.
Yeah. Well, we're living longer than ever before. That's one of the key things. How well, though, are we doing at preparing for aging? I mean, not just for ourselves, but for our family members as well.
We're not doing well at all. Let's be honest about it. We're just not doing well at all. And that's understandable. It's human nature. Most of us do not think that we're going to need any help as we get older. Or if we do think about it, we very quickly try not to think about it. It's not pleasant to think about. But in fact, study after study has shown that about 70% of us will need some form of long-term care for some time before we die.
And Ann, a lot of us do financial planning as we're heading into our retirement years. Do we need to be doing planning for aging as well as planning for our financial future?
Absolutely. And I think that we're very excited when people come to Jewish Family Service that are thinking about planning. We welcome all folks to our agency, but the vast majority come to us in a crisis, and they've not done that. Planning, as Lori says, people aren't thinking about it. I think Lori's going to talk about this new survey, but it has some really interesting stuff about how folks like Lori and I think about people being prepared versus people themselves. And I think we just have to get very creative to get people excited about the idea of planning for something they don't want to do. We have to get creative. So whether that be looking at how is your community preparing so it takes it off themselves, but we do have that challenge ahead of us.
Anna, tell us about the services and the resources that your agency offers.
Well, Jewish Family Service, as I said, we welcome all. So very similar if you go to Jewish Hospital. We welcome all folks, all backgrounds. Our primary focus is helping people to problem solve, plan their care, and hopefully provide some peace of mind to both older adults as well as their aging parents and also their adult children. So folks come in and meet with us, talk about what's going on, and we come up with kind of a roadmap to kind of pave the way for the future. And again, we'd like to people to come sooner in that process, but a lot of times they do come to us when there's been a crisis, a fall, concern about memory loss, a hospitalization, just something's going on with my mom. I just don't know what it is.
So most people wait till it's almost too late, and you're saying don't do that. Just get prepared ahead of time.
Get prepared. You know, my mother used to say, you know, plan for the worst, hope for the best. And that's what we want people to do. You hopefully won't ever have to use the plan that you set in place. But if you can do some of your homework, you're not caught off guard in that crisis.
And Lori, Council on Aging, tell us about the resources that your organization offers.
Well, we're the Area Agency on Aging for the Southwestern Ohio five counties. And as such, we help provide services that help older adults stay in their homes. And this is really where most people want to stay. In fact, the survey that Ann referenced, the United States of Aging survey, found that 75% of older adults are wanting to stay in the same home where they live now. So providing services that help people stay in their homes as they age is a very important community function, and that's what we do. But we also help people plan like Jewish Family Services does. And in fact, we have a workshop coming up called Own Your Future. The next one is August 22nd at Sycamore Senior Center, and you can find out more about that at our website, helpforseniors.org. And again, the idea is that to not wait until you're in crisis mode. There are things that people can and should do now to give themselves peace of mind and to help to many people care for aging loved ones.
Now, is this reluctance to plan, or at least a seeming reluctance to plan, is it similar to the reluctance to talk about things like wills and end of life, that somehow it's frightening or it's an unknown that we just don't want to think about and deal with?
I think that's very true. I think a lot of people sometimes also have the intent, I need to update my will. It's been over 10 years or whatever the case may be. But it's kind of like New Year's resolutions. We often make them, but we don't follow through with them until that other shoe drops and then we're forced into doing something. So our goal is really to help people do that sooner and try not to be overwhelmed. I often tell people, let's just start with your top three issues. Then once we work through those, let's go on to the rest of the list and work through those. And then we may come up with suggestions for them of things they need to do that they haven't thought about.
There are a lot of resources out there, but you can't be surfing the net while you are in a crisis mode and the hospital's discharging your stroke victim mom today. That's not the time to be trying to learn this stuff or preparing your living will or powers of attorney. That can be done now. Really, by anybody of any age ought to have those documents. And so I think people, to get to your question, Mark, I think I agree with what Ann said, but also I think people are vaguely aware that this is very expensive. And so then they say, well, I'm just not going to be able to afford it. I'll just let things happen as they will, and I'll deal with it at the time. Then your options are limited, and you may end up losing assets that you could have saved had you planned ahead.
Now, Ann was talking about issues. Now, in the study that was done, the 2015 United States of Aging Survey, were there particular issues that popped up as being of most concern to older Americans?
Yes, there were. I think many older Americans are concerned about having enough money to last them for the rest of their lives. So there's a recognition that they may not be as financially secure as they think they are. Overall, they're optimistic, but one of the most interesting things that came out of the survey was that there is a gap between what older adults themselves think about their prospects and what we call aging influencers think about the prospects. So the survey, in addition to interviewing older adults, it interviewed pharmacists, physicians, credit union managers, and Area Agency on Aging staff. And they found generally that while adults themselves thought they were prepared for changes in their health and for aging, the influencers themselves thought definitely not. And both groups felt that the community was not prepared. Aging influencers more than older adults, but only about half of older adults and about 40% of aging influencers thought the community was ready for the age wave.
So how important, and the survey looked at the importance of family, friends, and faith as people as they age. How important are those things in the eyes of older citizens and the people who are supporting them?
Well, you know, the survey found that far and above, as you might guess, family is the number one support system for older adults. And that's certainly, we find that true. I mean, the value of unpaid family caregiving in this country is in the hundreds of billions of dollars. So, and then people turn to their friends and then next to their church as a support group. And those are all the most important resources that older adults turn to.
And it's tough to be a caregiver, though, isn't it? I mean, it's tough on the person who's aging, but it's also tough to be a caregiver as well. It's a tough schedule. I mean, I've gone through this personally. You just don't know what you're in for till that happens.
Very true.
So I think there's a level of planning that you have to do if you expect you're going to be a caregiver for your parents or a family member.
Well, not only that, I think it's the emotional journey that you're on with your parents. Lori mentioned she's a caregiver. I've been a caregiver as well. And even for folks in our profession that do this professionally, it's very challenging at times to be tasked with figuring out this job of taking care of your aging parents. There's a lot of choices, a lot of information, and sorting through that's very difficult. That's why it's great, as Lori says, to take advantage of any resources that are out there. You know, let these agencies that have expertise, these influencers that Lori called them, do that legwork for you, help you in this process, because you really aren't alone. There's a lot of people in this same boat currently, and we'll be growing more and more.
Yeah, it's something I don't want to make it sound like this is such a horrible experience. You should avoid being a caregiver. I mean, one thing that we found out as my wife and I did this for her father, it was time consuming. It was draining. But there's also a lot of satisfaction that you can get from this. I mean, that's an important element in this, isn't it?
Very true. For a lot of us, it's a great privilege to be part of that process with mom and dad to give back because they took care of us. I do like to mention, though, that there are families out there that may have not had a great relationship with their family members and now are confronted with how to care for them. And so hopefully that's the minority of situations, but they are out there too, and those folks need help as well.
Lori, did the survey take a look at how older citizens look at managing their physical health and staying mentally sharp? How big of an issue is that?
Yes, there were several domains that the survey examined, and staying mentally sharp and health management were two of those domains. And one of the things that seniors are very concerned about with staying mentally sharp is they recognize that being isolated, not having social connections, which can often happen if you have a low mobility or maybe in your home, that those things can cause them to lose mental acuity, afraid of memory loss. That is one of the top reasons, concerns of older adults. In terms of physical health, there is a recognition that they need to know more how to maintain their health. And when they seek out what can the community do, some education about maintaining your health, that's one of the primary needs.
Do they view having a positive attitude about the aging process? Is that a plus?
Yes, they saw that. And in fact, one very interesting question concerned, you know, what bothers you about society's perspective on aging? And one of them was that people view older adults as being worthless and useless, and older adults didn't see themselves that way at all. And I think Anne and I, both working in this field, know that, in fact, to be true, that, you know, this is a positive aspect of the aging of our society, huge untapped services or resource, seniors that can help other seniors and that do have a positive attitude and look upon their last years of life as some of their best.
Well, are there barriers to that, though? Are there problems with the positive attitude portion of this?
Well, we've sort of been talking about that today.
A lot of them, yeah.
You know, I've thought maybe it's a good thing that you aren't fully aware, or that we all aren't fully aware of what lies ahead for us. And so a positive attitude is just very, very important. At the same time, I think being realistic that you are likely to need some care is also important.
And are there commercial companies that are starting to meet the needs of the older population, or but with services and products that allow people to live a more comfortable life and perhaps even stay in their homes for longer stretches?
Most definitely. I mean, there's a growth among for-profits as well as non-for-profits that are helping older people and their families make it possible for them to age in place. Technology is happening very fast. We're getting more sophisticated gadgets and things coming along that will help us. I think the key will be the accessibility to people and the affordability, as Lori mentioned earlier, how we're going to bring that into play.
Yeah, I think that the affordability, the technology, I mean, there's already robots who are taking care of older adults, and I actually think we're going to see more of that. But affordable housing and the affordability of some of this technology for, you know, most older adults do not have the means even to hire a real live person, much less buy a bunch of technology. But I do think it's going to be an answer, assistance.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. If they're concerned about outliving their money, then this would be a big concern, is having access and being able to afford these things.
Right. But some of their children, especially if, you know, it's very hard, long-distance caregiving is very hard. So if you have a remote telehealth kind of function that the children buy for mom, then that may be of some help.
Now, how do you convince an older parent to look at a retirement center and assisted living centers while they're still healthy? I mean, we're talking about thinking ahead, planning ahead. How do you get them to think ahead like that?
I'm sitting here smiling because I think that's something that we're asked a lot, is how do I get mom and dad to do A, B, or C? And sometimes it is to make a move, whether it's to be closer to kids or to move out of their home. And it is a challenge, I think.
It's a challenge because most of them want to stay in their home, as the survey shows.
Very much so. And it may be, sometimes it's convincing the older, the children of the aging parent that yeah, they can stay in their home if we put together the right services and programs that they're able to do that. But we, you know, we at our agency at Jewish Family Service, we often start with building trust and getting to know that older adult. You're not going to get at what people want and get to consensus in the family if you don't have that kind of trust built up and understand what people's wishes are and be honest with people about what the situation is. At the end of the day, we sometimes do get creative in what we do. Like if you're talking about taking away the keys or giving up driving, you know, sometimes that car has to go out and it's just not able to be fixed. You know, you have to get creative sometimes as an adult child when you're working with your aging parent. But you can never forget that that aging parent isn't an adult and has a right to make good decisions and bad decisions sometimes. So it's just really working with the whole family and coming up with a plan that's going to work for everybody. It may not be ideal all the time, but it's going to be the best plan possible.
Driving is a tough one.
I went through that
with my dad-in-law because he was Mr. Independent. Mm-hmm. He hated to ask for help. He hated to give up driving, but we had to have conversations with him about you have to give this up, and that's a hard one, isn't it?
It's very hard.
Very hard.
Yeah.
Sometimes bringing in a third party, which is what my father's doctor actually told him, that he should not drive anymore. And I know that a lot of families do count on a third party professional that the older adult trusts who will say what needs to be said.
Yeah, and I think that was eventually what we ended up doing because Dad was pretty stubborn, so we got his doctor to tell him, no, this is a bad idea.
Yeah, yeah.
Is the medical profession going to be able to meet the challenge, geriatric medicine, Alzheimer's specialists, are they all going to be able to handle the challenge of treating chronic health issues and problems that arise as people age?
I think that's a very good question, and I don't think we know the answer. There certainly are not currently enough doctors who specialized in gerontology to meet the needs of the current population, and I do not think that there are medical students who are choosing that as an area of specialty. So that is going to be a huge unmet need because you are going to see people living into they're already living into their upper 90s, centenarians and older. Living with chronic conditions that at one time killed people. Now they're living in a perhaps debilitated state. And when we look ahead and raise questions about the preparedness, I think the preparedness of healthcare, both skilled and also the home health unskilled care and the sufficiency, our capacity to meet the demand is, I think, a huge concern. We are in a little bit of I don't want to say a lull because there's a lot of older people, but my generation is still relatively young and healthy. We can plan for this now when we have time. When my generation, when we get into our 70s and 80s and health starts to decline, I really wonder whether there is capacity in the healthcare system to cope with it.
Some things we tell people right now that they can do is be a good consumer with your health care. So if you go to your doctor, and you know there's some great physicians out there, great nurse practitioners, but they still are like the rest of us and sometimes can be a little ageist, you know, maybe not really give their full attention to an aging patient and listen to their needs. So we suggest people take someone with them so they have a second set of eyes and ears there. And if you're not happy with your doctor, do be a good consumer. I think sometimes people are research more their next piece of technology they're going to buy or a vacation they're going to take than they do some of their health care providers. And so it's important to find people that you connect with that will listen to what you're asking and saying and giving you advice that you're comfortable with.
Well, and that's a good point, Anne, that people will take more time thinking about buying a consumer product mm-hmm. than they will about planning for this. But what's typical? I mean, people are living in retirement years, I think it's what, 20, oftentimes 20, 25, even 30 years through retirement. So, there's a lot of thinking you have to do on this.
Well, yeah. I mean, the people who are receiving services through Council on Aging, our typical client is a person in their 80s. We have people 100 years old and older living at home, and they have multiple chronic conditions. They are living with heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, multiple illnesses. And this also is an impact on caregivers who are many times having to deliver medical services in the home that they never anticipated they would be doing. Wound care, IVs, all this kind of thing that, gee, isn't there a nurse available? No, you're it. So it's a very different scene.
Lori, how well is Cincinnati doing in preparing for this boom in the aging population?
Well, if you go back to the States of Aging survey, the influencers, about 40%, say that, that the community is ready. So the majority are saying no, and that we're not ready. And that is also true of older adults, only about half of older adults. On the other hand, older adults felt that the infrastructure in the community, with the possible exception of transportation, was relatively age-friendly. They also felt that they enjoyed a good quality of life in Cincinnati. So there were both positive things and cautionary notes in the survey.
So transportation is a big issue.
Transportation is huge. And, you know, we've talked about people wanting to stay at home. What they often forget if they are no longer driving is that they then become very isolated from family, from friends, and from the services they need. There are some interesting models in Cincinnati. ITN Cincinnati is a great volunteer driving source. But for the most part, where you run into difficulty, even if older adults are able to use public transportation, which they're often not, is that last, what we call the last mile. Okay, the bus runs six blocks past mom's house, but mom can't walk six blocks. So, you know, how do we, so the bus is of no use to her. And really, older adults say they have no trouble getting from here to there, but I think that's because their kids are tagging them everywhere.
it's going to be a big issue, isn't it, to work on?
Oh, you bet.
Well, thank you for joining us this afternoon. Ann Sutton Burke, who's Director of Aging and Caregiver Services at Jewish Family Services, and Lori Petrie, Vice President of Communications for the Council on Aging of Southwestern Ohio. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Archives of our program are available at WVXU.org. Today's program was produced by Pete Reitmeier with help from Lizzie Kibler. The technical director was Kevin Rawinski. I'm Mark Haney. Stay tuned for Science Friday next on 91.7 WVXU. Incorporated in 1870, Bellevue, Kentucky sits on land originally granted to General James Taylor. On the next Cincinnati edition, we'll look at Bellevue's history and revitalization. We'll also hear about the study and preservation of Native American culture at Sunwatch Indian Village and Archaeological Park. And in Focus on Technology, a computer calls balls and strikes in a professional baseball game. That's on Cincinnati edition, Monday afternoon at 1 on 91.7 WVXU.